Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We're live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, 3 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. Our broadcast is live globally right now, but we will also be recording and archiving this on our websites as well as on iTunes and on Stitcher. So if you'd like to hear the show again, possibly maybe you want to hear a comment or two or something that we discussed on today's show, or maybe you want to share the link with colleagues, friends, family, and associates, you can certainly do that as well. Very excited to welcome Dr. Karen Klein of VCA Veterinary Specialties Center, located in North Seattle, Washington, to CUTV News Radio live right now for the very first time. VCA Veterinary Specialties Center of Seattle provides 24/7 medical care with 24 board-certified doctors and over 100 technicians and staff members. Now, Dr. Karen Klein is the medical director of the hospital, overseeing its daily operation to assure optimum standard of care. You know, when our beloved pets need medical care, we take them to a veterinarian. There are a variety of specialty services available for animals, just as there are in human medical care. Many people are unaware of the variety of specialty services that are available to pets, according to Dr. Klein. Our veterinary specialists, really, according to Dr. Klein, theirs can provide advanced care for pets, just like the human model. Now, according to Dr. Klein, it's ideal for pet owners to obtain pet insurance starting when their animals are still very young. A lot of people don't even think about pet insurance, but it is something to think about and consider and more than likely definitely get. It makes it easier and more affordable to get the care that the pet needs, just like for humans, too. Additionally, keeping pets in good shape through healthy diet and exercise, again, just like they say for us humans to do, can play a tremendous role in your pet's overall well-being. Now, rehabilitative preventive maintenance for your pets, you know, is very, very important. Their rehabilitation and preventative maintenance, preventative care, same thing, just like with a human, can help minimize the number of health problems that the pet has in the future. Now, VCA Veterinary Specialty Center is first class, not only because of their highly skilled specialists, but also their core values. Take quality care of pets, their owners, and each other. Let's welcome our very special guest, Dr. Karen Klein of VCA Veterinary Specialty Center. She is the medical director, and she oversees the entire operation to assure the optimum standard of care. Dr. Klein, thank you so much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio Live. It's a real honor and a pleasure to have you here. And I love somebody that has made it their life's calling and mission to care for pets and animals and really, you know, take all of the years of study and skill that you have to make sure that it's done right and it's done skillfully and it's done with the pet in mind and also the owner of the pet in mind and the family, because it's such an emotional and sometimes can be traumatic situation when a pet is ill or a pet needs care and people don't know necessarily what they should do or how they should do it. So starting off by applauding you for the incredible work that you do, and welcome to our show.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
You are very, very welcome. What for you, Dr. Klein, was it early on when you recognized that you loved animals, loved pets, and you had a desire to want to work in the world of veterinary services and care for them? And was it something that really clicked in? You had an aha moment when you were a kid, younger, and you've always wanted to do, or did it come later on? How did you get inspired in your own journey to do this kind of incredible work you do?
That's a really good question. I originally wanted to be a teacher, so I enjoy education. But my kind of aha moment, actually, when I was living in Massachusetts, I always had a love for animals. And, you know, when you're a veterinarian, the first thing that comes to your mind is a love of animals. But on top of that is just dealing with people and all of that. And I remember in the backyard, you know, catching a toad and it was injured and trying to put a little bandage on its little foot. And that sounds a little corny, but on the same token, you know, my path was very circuitous, but and then chose the specialty of neurology because it's very mysterious, but also very, very rewarding too.
Absolutely. Now tell us about the hospital itself. As a specialty referral hospital, what are some of the services that you offer? As I was mentioning in the beginning, it is amazing how in line some of the care that a pet needs is similar to some of the care that a human needs, and some of the preventative things, exercise, eat right, take care of yourself, go in for things when they, you know, are troublesome and things of that nature. So it's really amazing, you know, pets get some of the similar illnesses, diseases, and fractures and different things that humans do.
They sure do, and our hospital is one of the top specialty hospitals in the area. And just like if you were to go to a specialty hospital in human medicine, we have internal medicine people, we have internists that will see animals for diabetes and specialty care. We also have surgeons who do, routine fracture repair, abdominal surgeries, but also minimally invasive things. We also have neurologists who do back surgery and brain surgery, treat seizures, and also we have an oncologist here and also a full-time radiologist, as well as boarded criticalists. So if we have a patient who comes in that's in dire need of emergency care, we also have very highly skilled ER doctors, emergency room doctors, that are here 24/7. And we also have interns. So it's very much like a human model of a hospital. 24-hour care, 365 days a year. We don't stop. We don't close down. So it's very similar to what you would see on the human side.
That is tremendous. Again, to be able to offer the kind of level of skilled care that you do is really something that is a tremendous advantage for the pet owner, and to have the facilities that you have and the staff that you have to back that all up is tremendous. It takes time to build a company like this and to surround yourself with other talented people and staff who care and who are expert, right? It's something that you've devoted your life to, and you've really built up from zero to what it is now, from the facility to the staff to the equipment to everything, right?
Yeah, it's true. And certainly I think the thing about having a successful hospital is not necessarily, you know, the number of people you have, but the quality of people you have and really the people that, you know, you surround yourself with and really having an empathetic staff. You know, we deal with a lot of emergencies and people who come in are clients who are very distraught, and we just want to make them feel comfortable and allow them to be part of our family and make them feel better. You know, sometimes things don't always go as we want them to, but we need to follow a case from the beginning to the end and everywhere in between. And, we really take care of each other, too, because at the end of the day, just like in human medicine, we have stresses and strains and emotional issues that do come up. So we all try to rally around each other and help each other out day in and day out.
So what is your day like as a neurologist? I'm sure it's even the amount of time you're taking right now, this 30 minutes for your live interview with here on CUTV News Radio, I'm sure that that's a lot of time taken considering you're probably on the go constantly, right? Tell us about your day as a neurologist.
Yeah, my day starts, we have rounds in the morning. We have sit-down rounds, and the reason we do that is because we have a talented intern class that we have each year. And what we do during rounds, we get in typically around 7:30 in the morning with our coffee in hand, and we go through our cases. It's not unusual sometimes that we have 25 or 30 cases in the hospital, and it's a teaching round. And then depending on the schedule, we start seeing cases about 9 o'clock in the morning. And really, in my specialty, we are very sometimes unpredictable. I never know what, you know, I'm coming into in the morning as far as picking up cases in the morning. They can be medical neurology cases, surgical neurology, and, you know, we could pick up one case or six cases. And then we have our appointments and then go ahead and have surgery in the afternoon. And we do have two other neurologists here, so luckily they share the load with us. But it's not unusual. We have 10 or 12 cases in the hospital each day. And then, you know, certainly at the end of the day, we make our callbacks and make sure that everyone who is hospitalized, their owners get a phone call so we can keep them apprised of everything. And we also do phone consultations for referring veterinarians and answer any other client questions that we have that come in.
Now, I mentioned at the top, Dr. Klein, pet insurance. Now, some people may have heard that there is such a thing as pet insurance, or maybe they've never even realized that that type of thing is available to them. Tell us your thoughts on pet insurance and why you would advise that people get pet insurance, and when should they actually do that, when they adopt it, a pet, or purchase a pet, or there's a litter, or whatever it may be. What are your suggestions and thoughts on pet insurance?
I think that's a really good question, Jim, and I think it's essential these days where the cost of pet care can, you know, be quite expensive. And just like in the human arena, I think it's important for people to, when they adopt a pet or if they're, you know, going to a breeder, to get pet insurance right away. The reason being is that we know that the whole pre-existing condition situation, you know, for example, if we have a dog with intervertebral disc disease that comes in and they don't have insurance, that can be a costly venture with surgery. So I do recommend from the get-go getting pet insurance, and there's a lot of good pet insurance companies out there that will provide a plethora of support, because you never know in an emergent situation or even an elective situation when you're going to have that done. So it really does make a difference in the lives of our patients, but also the clients being able to offset some of that cost.
Now, preventative care. We're talking about preventative care for people for their pets. What kind of advice would you give somebody on preventative care for folks, pet owners?
Really, you know, certainly, and again, in the human side, we talk about children having vaccinations and so forth, and I think it's important that our pets be vaccinated as well. It is something that I do recommend, but also from a diet standpoint and everything, too, I think that's important. You know, certainly good diet, exercise, but again, good vaccinations and all of that, because even though, you know, we've been lucky to kind of wipe out some of the infectious diseases that we're seeing, we still have rabies out there and other things that can potentially be a human hazard. So I think keeping up on those things, and also, you know, preventive dentistry and all of that. You know, we go to the dentist on an every 6 months to an every year basis, and our pets really should too. Because one of those things we worry about in our pets is dental disease as a cause for systemic illness. So I think that's important. And your veterinarian is kind of key. And the reason we do all these things is to keep that pet as healthy as possible, to prevent them from getting diabetes or helping to deal with those things in the longer term as they get older, just like in people.
So how do specialists partner with referring the, you know, the vet population to work on healthcare with pets? How do you do that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think our referring veterinary population, so we have veterinarians that refer to us, just like we do in human medicine. And we work and partner with our referring veterinarians to continue care. For example, if I have an animal who comes in to see me because of seizures, you know, I'll develop a treatment plan, potentially do imaging just like we do in human medicine, MRI and spinal fluid analysis. And then we continue that care with our referring veterinarian. And really the big thing is communication. So when I see a case, I'll call that referring veterinarian, let them know what my thoughts are, and we always follow up with written instructions and so forth. And then we do consultations. And it's very much similar to the human model. And again, the reason we do that is so we can develop core, so our referring veterinarians can also continue that care at their level. So it's a big partnership, and that mutual respect from each other really is key, I think, for all of us.
Absolutely. You know, there's been discussion also about medical marijuana, cannabis for people, of course, but there's also the discussion about that same very subject for pets. Now, that might be surprising to people, or maybe they're not aware of it, or maybe they are very aware of it. Tell me about how medical marijuana or cannabis works for pets, if it does at all. Tell us about, that's a whole new area for people. So explain for us how that's all coming to play now these days.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good question, Jim, in that, you know, certainly there are legal ramifications with things. You know, certain states in the United States now have marijuana that's legalized. Some people will use marijuana in their animals. Now, there is a difference between THC and the cannabis because of the addictive properties. I will say from the outset, I get a lot of questions about cannabis and its use in pets in terms of just seizure control and pain management. And I think there's still a lot of research to be done. There's a lot of websites out there with cannabis available. Also tinctures and other things like that. I think moving forward, we're going to need a lot more research to know the beneficial effects of that particular agent in our dog and cat population, just because, you know, people and dogs are different. So from that standpoint, I think it's a question that's going to need some answers as we move on. And there are some ethical issues with it too, just with the legal aspects and ramifications. So I think we're going to need to really think hard about, you know, having this available and what options we have for pets in that regard.
Now, how can you, as a specialty medicine, offer exclusive medicine to pets that actually make their lives better? Is that something that is available?
Yes, and, you know, certainly, you know, we have our general practitioners who are out there, almost akin to what we have in human medicine. And then if you have a particular problem or whatnot, for example, in my field, seizures. So again, our specialists are trained, they go through internship programs, they go through residencies, and have to take a rigorous board exam, just like they do in people and in human medicine, to become very expert in their field. And we have, you know, all of the equipment that they very much do in a human hospital, CT scan, MRI, C-arm, so we can do minimally invasive things. And really the world of veterinary medicine, although it's a little lagging behind the human field, we're trying to always better ourselves and develop new therapies. And certainly universities with veterinary hospitals, teaching hospitals to offer advanced care, you know, brain surgery, radiation, all of those things, and new processes coming up all the time that kind of mimic human medicine. And many times we'll also get the human surgeons involved in some of our cases, and so we can, you know, offer as much care as possible to the nth degree.
Now, what work do you do with pet rescue organizations to help homeless pets in need? I think that is a really beautiful thing to do. And, you know, there's so many, we see it all the time, even on television, pet rescue, homeless pets, shelters. I mean, those people, just like you, and your staff, those people are doing yeoman's work, if not God's work, in what they seem deal with every day. How do you coordinate with them and work with them too for the good of the pets?
Yeah, there are a number of organizations in the Seattle area, and I must say, you know, certainly Seattle, they always say that there are more pets than people in the Seattle area,
yeah.
And we partner with a number of organizations, one of which is PAWS. The other one is called the Donny Clinic, which is exclusively a clinic that caters to the homeless population. So what we try to do is donate medications and our time down there so you can volunteer. And we also, at this hospital, will see those animals that are not just dogs and cats, but we also do some wildlife work. We also will look at our radiologist has worked with the Seattle Zoo to do some imaging of orcas and sea urchins and sea stars and all of that. But going back to the rescue organizations, there's a group called Old Dog Haven, which takes in older geriatric patients, and it's all based on donations from donors and people who want to donate money. So we partner with them. We'll see those cases and give them professional discounts. So really, it's about enriching those lives in many, many aspects, because we all know that everyone's going through something, and having that pet there with them can be comforting, but also very, very important for enriching everyone's life. So that, for us, is extremely important, and it will continue as well.
That's terrific. That's great work. I mean, that must give you fantastic satisfaction knowing that you're involved in that and you're helping in the way that you are, huh? I mean, your job, as the same with folks who are working, you know, in the medical community with the human population, your job every day when you go in, I mean, you see so many different things, and there's a lot of emotion involved, and a lot of, you see just about everything you could possibly see, I'm sure, pets in various different conditions, and there's attachments and all. But at the end of the day, the work that you do must be incredibly rewarding, fulfilling, satisfying, and even moving for you as medical director yourself on a daily basis.
It very much is. And you know, certainly I think as a group, veterinarians are kind of altruistic people. I certainly think that a lot of the satisfaction we get out of our work is the intangibles. You know, when I come into work and I can make a paralyzed dog walk, and I see the joy that an owner has in seeing that, because a lot of times the only thing that some people have is their pets. And, you know, we're able to help with their suffering, make them better. And even if we have cases that don't go like we want them to, or unfortunately the pet passes away, I think still knowing that we've made a difference or tried to means a lot. You know, so I think, you know, as a group, we love just to see that interaction. And it's definitely a people profession. You know, certainly it's one thing to, you know, pat dogs and cats on the head and snuggle with them, but also dealing with the human population and comforting them, I think, is a whole new world for people too. So I think we kind of carry two hats, if you will.
Absolutely. How do you feel about advising clients to feed higher quality foods as opposed to lower quality to prevent sickness in pets? You know, we've been talking about the similarities between pets and humans and how we're supposed to take care of ourselves as well. In the case with the pet is completely reliant on us, the pet owner, to make sure they have what they need. We have the ability to eat, you know, a cheeseburger if we want, or have a salad if we want. We have the ability to take ourselves to the doctor if we need the doctor's care. But the pets really completely, solely rely on us. They're giving us all this unconditional love, but at the same time, they're also hoping that we do the right thing for them, including when it comes to their veterinary care and their cleanliness and their safety, and their food as well, right? They really depend on us, the pet owner, to do right by them.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing. And I think the thing that we struggle with, just like in the human population, is dogs and cats that are overweight. And we all know that, you know, if you've got a pet yourself, you know, want to give them treats, but there are certain ways to keep them slim. Having said that, though, sometimes it is difficult, you know, given the spectrum of income differences and so forth, to find that pet food that's going to be healthy. I think, you know, certainly pet food companies strive to make things as quality as possible. But I think the take-home message is, you know, making sure we avoid situations where we're giving pets too much. We want to avoid them becoming overweight, because that can lead to other health issues like diabetes, like having, you know, joints and bone problems and so forth. So I think it's important, just like in us, to get out there and do walking, because it, in running and so forth, and making sure that our pets are as active as we want them to be. You know, and there's little things we can do, but just really trying to keep them fit will keep us fit as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you have any success stories that you can share with our audience as well? I'd love to hear one or two if you have them. I'm sure many. We could probably do a live show for days on all the happy people that you've been able to work with.
Of course, and I think it spans everything. You know, certainly I think the best success stories are in my specialty. If I have a paralyzed dog who comes in that just the other night, last Saturday, we were here till about 1:30 in the morning and had a paralyzed dog who came in that ruptured an intervertebral disc in its back. And by the next day after surgery, that dog was up and walking and certainly was out of pain. You know, we also have done brain surgery on cats, taking out a big brain tumor and seeing that cat go home. And, you know, it may sound small, but in our mind, you know, we had a successful outcome. There was another dog that had tetanus, which is something that people can get. And that dog, after being in hospital for about a month, walked out of the hospital and survived and was on the brink of death when he came in. So these are all success stories and just the little things, you know, just getting seizures under control or fixing a fracture. I think all of our specialists could really talk about, you know, their own success stories. But I think the key is the quality of life for the owners, but also the pet, and that bond that they have. It just is fantastic to see.
It is, isn't it? What would you say as far as for people listening to our show right now, the importance of making sure that the pet is taken care of and brought to a veterinary specialty center like yours?
I think, you know, certainly your mainstay is going to be your local veterinarian working in partnership with the specialist. And, you know, just like in human medicine, we have preventive care, we have specialists in case those needs arise. And really, you know, I think just letting people know that those specialties exist out there and that we're there for the public. And we also need to be mindful of cost, because not everybody is going to be able to afford, you know, this advanced care. So that's, you know, the point of going back to having insurance and knowing that having a pet is a privilege, and we need to make sure that our pets are extended the same benefits that what our children have, because for some people, the pets are all they have.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Klein, Medical Director of the VCA Veterinary Specialty Center of Seattle, providing 24/7 medical care with 24 board-certified doctors and over 100 technicians and staff members. You can reach the hospital at www.vcaanimalhospital.com. That's vcaanimalhospital.com. Dr. Klein, thank you so much for the work that you do. We hope to chat with you again soon, and thanks for being on the show today. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
You are very, very welcome. Continued success to you and your staff. Jim Masters here, CUTV News Radio. For all of us here, we thank you for listening as well. Have a great day.